Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The Junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the Junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the truth.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Saturday episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. It is July the 26th, and we are moving quickly through the summer. What a interesting week of pro wrestling that we have. And I'm still catching up for some of the stuff I've missed. Including the Rev Pro show yesterday. We got AEW Collision tonight. And we just got a bunch of stuff moving forward. They announced the entire pay-per-view PLE for SummerSlam, the two nights, and what matches go on what night. If you want to check those out, that's next weekend. But today we got a jam-packed show. I thought that we're into July, and so technically we're already more than halfway through the year. And this was planned, obviously, again, for Thursday. The stuff that we were going to talk about mixed in with a couple other things. And obviously due to the passing of Hulk Hogan, we moved this to today and had that Hogan show on Thursday during the live stream. And so we got just a bunch of news that I want to talk about. It's not going to be a super, you know, I don't intend on it being a super controversial show. I don't intend on this being a super long show. But we're getting some community involvement with the Discord community. Go ahead and check out that Discord link in the description box and join the Discord. So we got some Discord engagement in this show. We got some other things that I want to talk about. Some other news outside of the passing of Hulk Hogan that I don't want people to miss from the IWC world. And then I'm going to end the show talking about, I saw the movie, Fantastic Four yesterday evening. And while watching it, I'm not going to spoil, hopefully, any of the big pieces, but I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, this, the plot line, movie, like, I think this could possibly be used or should be used as the formula for how pro wrestling bookers should book, like, book feuds. Like, any feud could follow the formula, and I'll explain it a little bit later at the end of the show. But we got some other news. I just ask a few things. Hit that like button, comment, share this video, hit that subscribe button and that notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. If you're one of our listeners on the audio only platform, Spotify, Apple, all the other sources that this gets distributed to, I just ask you for a 5-star review, and let people know that you enjoyed this show, so that we can continue to build the community. Like I said, we got a Discord server for the real wrestling community, because we keep it real, we keep it raw, we keep it relevant in that server. And so we may even like, honestly, we may, you know, and being the AEW guy in the server, you know, my opinions sometimes get, you know, knocked, because a lot of the people love WWE more than AEW. And so, like, come in here, realize, like, we're not going to cater to, you know, your feelings a lot of the times. If you have an opinion, they're going to let you speak your opinion, but everybody is able to get some sort of ridicule off of a wrestling opinion. And at the end of the day, it's just pro wrestling. It's not, you know, real life in any way, shape, or form. But we're trying to build a community of wrestling fans from all across the aisle. And so when there are people with different opinions on different things, you know, there's going to be those heated conversations, and we live for those in the server. If that's something that suits your interest and you want to talk wrestling in a real, raw, relevant way, join the Discord in the description box below. But let's jump into the first piece of the show. I just got four big ideas that I want to share. The first one is, a story came out, obviously, a couple days ago. Elena Black, formerly known in WWE as Cora Jade, wrote a message and posted it on social media stating that she's walking away from pro wrestling for an indefinite period of time. She needs to, like, I guess, you know, find the passion that she once had for pro wrestling. And then I don't know if it was the same day or the next day, something came out. I think it was Dave Meltzer was saying that Cora Jade, Elena Black, has been talking to a lot of these women and telling them, like, she is making more money with OnlyFans than she ever made, or that any wrestler is making in a month doing pro wrestling. And basically suggesting, like, there is a legit possibility that pro wrestling is now a pipeline to get noticed and get a fan base just to leave and to do OnlyFans at the end. And that's going to be the way they make their money. We've seen it with people like Mandy Rose. She got released because of her OnlyFans, and she is thriving off of it. And it seems like Cora Jade is making a good living off of OnlyFans, and that this may be a pathway for women in women's wrestling get known. If they're, you know, obviously when you're in pro wrestling, there is a subset of the fan base that will, you know, be focused on like your body and how you look like. And obviously, you know, that's kind of what you have to market when you're a woman is your appeal. And you may be a pretty decent wrestler, but if wrestling isn't something like if you're not going to get the Charlotte Flair push, but you have a good look, you're attractive, and you got you can catch a fan base of the audience that would be willing to pay a monthly fee to to, you know, get a more intimate behind the scenes look of your life and all of that mess. And you can make a better living off of it. And you're, I don't know if I can blame them for doing what they're doing. They obviously, there's a market for that kind of stuff.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And I believe in a free market system, and I may not agree that, like, using pro wrestling, because, like, look, I'm a pro wrestling. I love pro wrestling, right? Like, I grew up with it. It's a big part of my life, and I don't like to see people using pro wrestling as a pathway for, you know, like, they're not really passionate for pro wrestling. And so they're just going to do it long enough to get that following. I'm not a big fan of that, but, like, I can't blame them for doing it because there is a market there. And so Cora Jade is stepping away, and maybe she'll come back to wrestling at some time, but right now she's not getting the AEWs of the world to want to sign her. Like, she's doing bingo halls, and for Cora Jade, it makes a lot of sense for her to do OnlyFans as her main form of income. And then maybe every now and again, if she wants to do a wrestling appearance, like, there we go. Like, we've seen even people like Daria Barrento, formerly known as Sonya Deville. Like, she stepped away from wrestling, and I don't think she has an OnlyFans, but she has a podcast and she has other business ventures. And so, like, I think people are starting to realize people are buying in, not necessarily to the character, but to the person behind the character. And they want to follow Daria and not necessarily Sonya. They want to follow Elena Black and not necessarily Cora Jade. They want to see the person behind the character. And with social media the way it is, that's just the landscape, is that whether we like it or not, kayfabe is dead. You don't play the character. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more context here in a minute. Because I think it's a important reason why the social media landscape was the way it was this weekend, but I'll get to that in just a few moments. But, let me know what you guys think. Like, is this a good future for women's wrestling? If the future pathway, at least from the WWE perspective of these WWE wrestlers, get a following on social media and then step away from wrestling, start OnlyFans or Fansly or one of these other, like, websites where you can provide exclusive content, whether it's of a sexual or a non-sexual nature, it doesn't matter. But Is this a good future for women? And let me know your thoughts. Comment down below what you think about this whole story. The next thing I want to talk about is Will Ospreay. And obviously, because of the Hulk Hogan passing, I didn't talk anything about Dynamite on Wednesday. I wasn't necessarily planning to anyway, because when I do my solo shows, I don't want to just sit here and bore you to death about what happened on the TV. I like to have those conversations when somebody's with me on the channel. But watch Dynamite. Will Ospreay comes out and he had to make an announcement that he's going to be out for a period of time, that for the past 10 months, he's been dealing with a neck injury that he's Just now trying to fix it, that he hid the injury from AEW staff. He made it really clear that AEW staff would shut him down if they knew he had a neck injury. And that's why he hid it, because he wanted to continue the story. And he kind of kept himself in character and saying like he had to make sure that somebody beat Moxley. But the idea was, I don't think Ospreay wanted to lose his place in line. He didn't want to lose, you know, to have to abruptly end the story that he was trying to tell. And so he was just trying to manage the injury himself without going to a doctor or telling the medical staff that he was dealing with the problems. But it got to the point to where he eventually had to, and he said he had two herniated discs in his back that were down to the spinal cord. And so this is a legit injury that, had he waited much longer, like if the herniated disc punctured or, you know, hit the spinal cord, could have paralyzed him and it basically ended his in-ring career. So I'm happy that he got the help that he needs to get. He's getting the medical care now that he needs to get. His plan is if he can do the physiotherapy and all of the stuff that they said, that he can show up again at Forbidden Door in London, England. Even if he can't wrestle that show, like Will Ospreay's going to be on that show. It's in England. He's on the picture of all the marketing material surrounding Forbidden Door. And so I know he's going to push really hard to do all of the stuff that he needs to do so that he can play a pretty significant piece in Forbidden Door. And so my question with this, and again, I want the people watching this to have my opinion on it, but was Will Ospreay wrong for the way he handled his injury? Because I'm sitting, I see it from both perspectives, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say Will Ospreay should be fined and punished for this, because I don't necessarily think that perspective is looking at it from the perspective of the wrestler himself. Obviously, Will Ospreay doesn't want to have a long-term injury, right? Obviously, he would be better prefer that he's 100% healthy. But you have to look at it. Again, I think from an outsider's perspective, it's like, why is he waiting this long to tell? Why is AEW not checking in on him? Why is this? Why is that? Why is he hiding an injury? And then I think you have to stop there for a minute. And instead of saying, why is he hiding an injury, take a look at it from his perspective for a moment. He's hiding his injury. He's not the only wrestler to ever hide an injury. In fact, in the 70s and 80s and 90s, it was common practice to hide your injuries unless it was something truly debilitating. Like, obviously, if you have a broken leg, you're not going to be able to hide a broken leg. But if it's something like, you know, your neck hurts or your back hurts, or, you know, you have a shoulder problem, like you're going to, it was common practice back then. And to hide the injury, because the idea was, if you had to take any time off for injury, there is a possibility you will never get your spot in line back. Someone else will take that spot. And if someone else takes your spot, you have to come back and work harder to get just back to where you were in line. And so, like, I can see it from both sides. I think it's absolutely wrong for Will Ospreay to say, I'm not going to tell anybody about my injury, because he could have injured himself more severely if he would have just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Like, it could have paralyzed him. And so he's putting, you know, the company liable for possible injuries. And so Will, like, I get it from that perspective, but I also get it from his perspective, as he wants to make sure that he finishes the storyline he's in, that he doesn't have to make any abrupt changes to story that could cause, you know, other events that need to take place in the storyline to have to, you know, be changed in some way, shape, or form. So he's willing to gut it out, not to lose his place in line, not to ruin the story that's being told. He's going to gut it out and take care of his stuff. Once the storyline is complete, then he will get his medical stuff taken care of. And so I hope the best for Ospreay.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Going to put any blame on AEW. I'm not going to put any blame on him. Like, there are times when and I'll tell you this, when I worked for not the job I currently have, but the job before, I guess I tore my meniscus in my knee or something, and it popped when I was doing the work. But the background and education that I have with human resources, I knew I wasn't doing anything work related. I was just walking, you know, and my knee popped. So it wasn't something that I felt like I needed to file to HR an injury claim. And so I just gutted it out that day, right? Like, I gutted it out. I didn't file an injury claim. I didn't tell my boss that I, you know, messed up my knee. Like, it was late enough in the day that I only had like 20-30 minutes left of work anyway, and so I just did work, you know, and I gutted it out, and it hurt like hell, but I gutted it out. I didn't feel like I needed medical attention at that time. I was just gonna gut it out. And it was a Saturday, so I had a day or two off before I had to go back to work, and I was going to, you know, gut it out. And Monday came around and my knee wasn't feeling any better, so I called out and I was just gonna go get my knee checked out. And so I told my boss, like, hey, I hurt my knee on Saturday. He was like, and at that point he was like, did you put in an injury claim? And I didn't. And so, you know, I hid it from him Saturday, but I had to tell him on Monday. And this is like, so I can understand it. Like, you don't want to go through all of the hardship and the paperwork and all of that mess to, especially when I knew like it wasn't, you know, workers' comp. I couldn't claim anything. I didn't do any work. And then I had to file the claim anyway on that Monday. And then I had all these HR people calling me just for them to tell me what I knew, which was it wasn't a workers' comp claim. And so it's just like, I get where Will Ospreay is coming from. Like, he doesn't want to put himself in a position to where he is the reason a storyline had to change. And so he's just going to gut it out. And I think we all do that at times where we're not feeling 100%, but we're going to gut it out, you know? Let's move on. So obviously Hulk Hogan passed away on Thursday. And I think the last couple days we have seen social media in the wrestling world be the most absolute worst place in the world. And the most prominent version of this is with Chelsea Green. So she made a post on Thursday saying, like, Cardona loved Hulk as a wrestler, and that, you know, he was very influential in the business and blah 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 blah. She made a really good post, and then she took a lot of heat for that. She took, you know, the comment section of her videos were really bad, death threats, telling her all this other just nasty stuff. So she made an apology and said, like, I'm not condoning racism. I'm not condoning all this stuff. Like, she tried to appease them and say, like, all I was trying to do was say he was very influential to the business that I work in. And so I can't, like, just not be grateful that he built the business that I work in. And it didn't work. Like, the people that the mob that was coming after her was still coming after her. And so now, and then she just then announced that she's taken time off of social media, that the death threats and all of this stuff that she's getting is just too much for her to handle. And it's like, again, you're no better than Hulk Hogan. You're no better than Terry Bollea. If you're threatening a wrestler for thanking a pioneer of the industry that they're working in, that she didn't say anything wrong. She's apologized for offending people that she didn't mean to offend, and you're still going to come at her neck and threaten to, you know, wishing she was dead and all of this mess. It's just so crazy how wild the internet wrestling community gets when people disagree with them. And so I think I have a reason for this, and it comes back to, I watched a bunch of TikToks. I read a lot of stuff on social media. And I think the reason people don't understand how to separate character from the person behind the character is because they don't have a personal connection to the legends of pro wrestling. Time and time again, I saw, like, I'm a newer wrestling fan. I'm a newer this. I don't have any connection to the 80s or the 90s. The Attitude Era don't mean anything to me. The Monday Night Wars didn't mean anything to me. And so what's happening is we saw this divide, right? So you saw wrestlers like The Rock and Bubba Ray and Maven and all of these people make these comments that basically said Hulk Hogan, while he wasn't a perfect human being outside of wrestling, his contribution to the game was the reason I was able to make a living, right? And so now, so you have fans of those wrestlers and those wrestlers themselves saying Hulk Hogan paved the way. And now you have people who have no connection to that, right? So they're newer fans. Maybe they started watching wrestling when AEW showed up, or maybe they started watching wrestling like during the PG WWE days. And so there's no Hulk Hogan sympathy there, right? There's no connection. There's no personal connection to the history of the game. And so they don't see Hulk Hogan as the one that paved the way. And so I think it's dangerous because they're trying to erase the legacy of pro wrestling. And so it's a dangerous game that we're trying to play, but this is just kind of where the society at large is going, to where they're trying to say there's, I have no emotional connection to anything, you know, pre my birth. And maybe it's a Gen Z thing, but I remember growing up and Hulk Hogan, like, I was 2002. I was like 4 or 5 years old back then. And so I don't have a, like, super emotional connection to Hulk Hogan, but as a wrestling fan and someone that likes to go back and watch stuff from the 80s and 90s, I can tell you Hulk Hogan was a instrumental piece in pro wrestling survival, at least on a global stage. Like, without Hulk Hogan, and maybe I'm going to say this statement, and there may be people that, like, are like, well, fuck Hulk Hogan even more because I wanted this, right? But without Hulk Hogan, wrestling today would probably still be territorial. You wouldn't have wrestling on TV. It would just be your local indie promotions. And then they all partner up, like my local North Carolina promotion would partner up with the local Tennessee promotion, would partner up with the South Carolina promotion. And they would have the South territory and the West territory and the North territory. Without Hulk Hogan, the global push, all WrestleMania, all of this wouldn't exist. And people are so far gone from actually understanding the history of it. It was 40, 50 years ago that this revival of pro wrestling happened. And so they're so long gone with this idea. They're just so focused on the here and now. Well, I've only been a fan for 6 years or 7 years or 5 years or 2 years, so I don't have that connection. And I'm not here to say that's bad. Like, you don't have to have an emotional connection to the name Hulk Hogan, but you can't forget that he existed. You can still remember, like, oh, he's a historical figure. Like, I don't have a historical connection to Abraham Lincoln. You know, I'm not emotionally attached to Abe Lincoln, but I know historically Abe Lincoln was an instrumental piece of what became the eventual ending of chattel slavery in this country. So I don't have to have an emotional connection to understand the historical significance of a person. And what's dangerous is trying to erase Hulk Hogan from the history books of pro wrestling is basically trying to erase pro wrestling. And then for people to disagree with someone enough for them to make an apology and you still disagree with them, like you did with Chelsea Green, like you're doing with all these other wrestlers and wrestling fans who are saying, I don't condone what Terry Bollea did, what Hulk Hogan did off, you know, in his private life. I don't condone it. But I got to recognize that, like, he was pretty instrumental. You know, like Leo Rush posted something positive about Hulk Hogan, and people are like basically calling him like an Uncle Tom. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, allow people to have different opinions. And you can hate on Hulk Hogan all you want. All we're saying is, like, you want us to choose love over hate in every situation, except when Hulk Hogan passes away and then you're, you know, pissing on his grave, dancing on his grave. Like, it's wild. But let's move on. I don't want to talk about this too long. I shared my big thing on Thursday. All right, next segment. Like I said, we're at the mid, a little bit past the midway point of the year. And so I thought I would give you what I'm going to call the mid-year wrap-up or the recap. And so I'm going to give you, there's six different categories just to kind of tell you where my thoughts are, because us at the Beyond the Junkyard podcast always team up with the Slap and Meat Wrestling podcast at the end of the year to do our like end of the year award ceremony type thing. So I'm going to give you a couple mid-year awards to best male wrestler, best women wrestler at this point of the year, a match of the year, best character of the year, worst character of the year, and then a couple people that I think are going to make the back end of 2025 their part of the year and are going to have some things to say coming up. So let's start with the current men's wrestler of the year. And this guy started the year on the shelf, injured, came back his first night back, makes an appearance and injures himself again, comes back a couple weeks later, enters a really interesting feud with Chris Jericho, where Chris Jericho takes his mask, ends up in a mask versus title match, beats Chris Jericho for the ROH championship. And ever since then, he has been on a run between ROH, AEW, CMLL, like every single night, basically putting on some of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. And so far my mid-year men's wrestler of the year has to be, and I think it might be my wrestler, male wrestler of the year at the end of the year. We'll see how it goes, but Bandido is my current men's wrestler of the year. So we go to the current women's wrestler of the year, and it's kind of the same story. This woman has come in. She has every match she's wrestled is her opponent's best match of their year or of their career. And so it's just like she goes to Rev Pro and gives Kanji one of her best matches ever. And then she goes to CMLL and then she wins the CMLL Women's World Championship. And then she you know, wins the Owen Hart tournament this year. And then she has 6 titles. And Mercedes Moné, Women's Wrestler of the Year up to this point of the year. And then and again, like Bandido, I think at the end of the year she may be my Women's Wrestler of the Year again. Current match of the year, and this is a tough candidate. It's going to be, there's going to have to be like something almost astronomically mind-blowing to beat this match. The back half of the year, Bandido versus Takenosuke Takeshita, Supercard of Honor 2025, was the greatest match I have seen so far this year. And again, I don't know if anything's going to beat it. Dave Meltzer praised his match and basically said it was one of the best matches he has ever seen in his entire life. Is me basically paraphrasing what he said. It was one of the greatest matches he had ever seen in his entire life. And it's probably the match of the year. Like Bandido versus Takeshita. If you haven't watched it, like get Honor Club, pay the $9.99 for the 1 month, cancel your subscription after 1 month, but watch Bandido versus Takeshita. It is so worth watching. It is the best match of the year. The best character so far of this point of the year. Again, character means a gimmick, not necessarily in-ring work, but, you know, gimmick and character mean something. And Toni Storm wins best character of the year again. She is on fire. And she's about to enter into a feud, a fight at a, is it Forbidden Door? Or at some point in the future, she's going to fight Athena. And this is just going to be beautiful. It might be Forbidden Door, might be All Out. Whenever Athena decides to sign that contract, Toni Storm versus Athena. And it's going to be wonderful. But Toni Storm's gimmick, her character, best of the year. And she continues to reinvent it in small ways. To where you think you may have seen everything that she could do, she does better. The worst character of the year. Well, that's heel John Cena. When John Cena turned heel, I popped. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. His last year is going to be so damn good. He's finally a heel. He's going to go back to like Thuganomic Cena. He's going to just put down everybody. And no, we've just gotten just the absolute worst of what pro wrestling can be. And I had my concerns about John Cena turning heel as it being like ruining the legacy of John Cena, ruining what he had. And the last thing people are going to remember about John Cena and pro wrestling is this just absolutely dog shit heel run. And I think they're trying to turn him babyface so that he can salvage at least the last couple months of his push. Cause he only has a handful or two of dates left. His last match is going to be in December. And so they got to do something with it here. I don't know what they're going to do at SummerSlam next week, but it seems like they may be trying to do that double switch and Cena becomes the face and Cody Rhodes becomes the heel. But heel John Cena has been absolutely trash. And I think there's a reason they didn't ever turn him heel. And it's because this is what we probably would have gotten. It's just a terrible way, I think, for John Cena's last world tour to go down is whatever the fuck we've gotten the past couple, you know, past.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Year with heel John Cena. Then I want to talk about three wrestlers that I think you need to look out for the last portion of this year, because I think they're going to make this portion the best portion of the year. Number one, I talked about Athena. She's the forever ROH Women's Champion. She's almost at 1,000 days, I believe. For the ROH Women's Title Championship. She's now going to have an opportunity to fight for the AEW World Women's Championship. And so she is going to be a main piece of storytelling for both of Tony Khan's companies, ROH and AEW. For the back half of the year, we got ROH pay-per-view, I can't remember the name, something Dishonor, end of August. We have, obviously Forbidden Door at the end of August, and All Out in September. And moving forward, I think Athena is going to play a major piece in not only ROH, but in AEW. MJF would be the second one. He seems dead set on playing it out and seeing when he's going to take his opportunity to cash in his contract. I think his story is getting really interesting with the Hurt Syndicate. We saw last Wednesday, the biggest of all, Bob's, choked him out in the locker room. I think we're pushing towards MJF splitting from the Hurt Syndicate, allowing him to go on a singles run by himself. MJF is really good at kind of putting himself in like comedy situations, like his run with Adam Cole, and then being able to throw that out and then go straight into something more important. I don't know the location of World's End, but I have a feeling MJF wins the world title. I'm starting to get on my co-host on Thursday's side there that MJF will win the AEW World Championship at World's End in December. So MJF, obviously, back half of the year is going to be a big piece for him, and he's going to be a big part of the AEW storyline. And then I got to give one for the WWE side, and that is Trick Williams. I think Trick Williams has the potential, if he is booked properly, to be the next biggest star in WWE. He has the look. He has the charisma. He can play face. He can play heel. He can talk on the mic. And he can do pretty damn good job wrestling in the ring. He's everything that a pro wrestler should be. He's TNA champion, world champion. I think the work that he's done in NXT has been fantastic, but he's done it all in NXT. They need to move him to the main roster. Let him stay in TNA for a little bit longer. Help TNA get numbers, build, you know, maybe get that TV deal that TNA wants. Bound for Glory is coming up in October, I think. So they need to get tickets sold for Bound for Glory. And ain't nothing better than Trick Williams to get tickets, because he is just, he's a marketing man. Like, he has the look, he has everything that I would want in a pro wrestler. And Trick Williams, by golly, might be one of the best, one of the future stars in WWE for decades to come. And that's why I have said it like in months prior, and I'll say it today, Trick Williams needs to be the guy to retire John Cena. He has to be the guy. That rub would send him to a position in WWE that I think he deserves, because he's been putting in the work. And yeah, Trick Williams, if they screw up Trick Williams on the main roster like they did with Carmelo Hayes, like, Triple H, there ain't no coming back from that. So I think that's maybe why they're hesitant to bring him up, because there really ain't a spot for him yet. But they better make a spot for Trick Williams, because he is the future of the business. And I'll stand on business with that one. That's my mid-year recap. Obviously, as the year goes along, we'll get to that end of the year situation, and we'll have that big live stream with a recorded video with all of the guys like we do every year at the end of 2025. Let's move on now. I was thinking, I'm a big baseball fan, and we're coming up in the next week or so to the MLB trade deadline. And so I put in the Discord under the community hot take piece, and I said, give me some hypothetical trades that, you know, like, if AEW and WWE work together to negotiate a trade, who would they trade? Or and I said, do it for any company, TNA, MLW, New Japan, etc., even your local indie scene. Was, you know, who should be traded? And my job is going to be, I'm going to take a look at some of these trades. I got, I think, 7 of them. And I'm going to tell you if I would accept or deny them for each side of the trade. And so it's time to talk about some trades. Like I said, I think I got 7 of them. So let's pull up the first trade. So the first trade is Alpha Academy, Maxxine Dupri, Akira Tozawa, and Otis for Matt Sydal and Anthony Bowens. And on the WWE side, you lose a comedy gimmick at Alpha Academy, right? Like, they're not legitimate tag team contenders, I don't think. They're kind of there for the comedic relief, and they play that spot really well. Maxxine has gotten a little bit better in the ring, but she's not going to win a women's championship anytime soon. But she's wildly attractive, and I think can play that manager role even better in AEW than she could in WWE, where WWE kind of restricts what may be able to be done. Like, Maxxine, I think, has could play a pretty decent manager in AEW. I think Akira Tozawa and Otis could be presented as a mid-card tag team that kind of like Private Party was at one point, where they were like kind of comedic relief, but also they want you to take them seriously in the ring. I think this would work pretty good for AEW. And then on the AEW side, you get rid of Matt Sydal. I think he worked really well. He would work really well in WWE. He'd come back. You could have that reunion tour and turn him back to Evan Bourne. He could have his last moment in the sun in WWE. I think Anthony Bowens could then be that prospect. This is one of those, like, trades that to compare it to sports, to where, like, you had a veteran that played for a team, and then a prospect, and then you're just like doing a, like, it's like a minor league trade. Like, this isn't going to astronomically destroy either company. It's just a kind of like a minor league trade. Anthony Bowens, like, to me, has potential to be something good. I'm not sold in on his gimmick yet, the 5-tool player. I don't know where it's going, and so I can't buy in if I don't really see a future with it. I like this trade. I think this would work out for both teams. I'm a big fan of Otis. I'm a big fan of Maxxine. I think Akira Tozawa is funny and kind of can take that comedy shtick that Kazuchika Okada had and they can kind of present Okada as, you know, more, a little bit more serious. He can kind of play that role of Shibata as well. Like Shibata came in and used the Google Translate voice to say his promos in English. And it was just kind of funny, this kind of the stuff that they would say. And I think it would work for both sides, and both sides would benefit in some way, shape, or form because of this trade. So I would accept it if I was WWE, and I would accept it if I was AEW. Next trade, mock trade request is High Rise, which I don't know the back two guys. I know Wes Lee from his time in TNA, for Colton and Austin Gunn. I don't see this working in either way. First off, I think AEW says no because the Guns are a big piece of the tag team division. They're supposed to be in the tag team title tournament that they're running until Colton Gunn had his injury. So they had to pull him out. But secondly, we already have that same basic group, like two jacked muscular men being the enforcers for a scrawny, short, you know, heel. Like, that's Ricochet's group with Gates of Agony. So AEW's been super specific about how they pick former WWE talent. And then if a trade were to be offered, I think they value the Guns really high. And the value that High Rise would present wouldn't be enough. It has to be like High Rise plus an additional couple pieces for AEW to, I think, consider it. So I'm going to say yes for WWE because they get a better deal, but it would be no on the side of AEW. The next trade was AJ Styles being traded from WWE back to TNA for Moose. And I like this trade because AJ Styles is at the point of his career where he's never going to most likely be in the main event picture fighting for world titles in WWE anymore. He's on the back end of his career where he's going to be that vet to help put over younger talent. And that's great. That's a great role from him. But he would be so much better utilized in TNA. He could have his reunion tour. He could win the TNA world title one more time. And he can kind of be that face of TNA, especially if TNA wants a TV deal. AJ Styles back on TNA would be big. And then TNA could send Moose, who, again, has kind of had his run at the main event scene. And, you know, sometimes you get into the main event scene and then it takes you a while to get back. I think they could ultimately implement Moose into TNA, into NXT, or even in the main roster and kind of give him a quick push, let him see where he can sit. Moose is a really good wrestler. I think this would benefit both sides. You get a guy who hasn't been in WWE, but is really a really good performer, and you can give him that run. And then you give AJ Styles that, like, back end of his career reunion tour in TNA. So it'll be a yes from me from WWE side, but also a yes from me on the TNA side as well. So this trade I think would go through. The next trade that was presented was Natalya and Nia Jax going from WWE to TNA in exchange for Tessa Blanchard. This one is a little complicated because I think Natalya is valued as a veteran in the WWE locker room. I think Nia Jax, I think, has, you know, obviously that look of a dominant heel. And I don't know if WWE would take this. Not because Tessa Blanchard isn't worth it. In fact, I think she's the most valuable piece of this trade in terms of in-ring talent at this level of her career. There's just a lot of headache that comes with Tessa Blanchard because of some past stuff that she's done in her life. And so, like, she's to me, Tessa Blanchard reads TNA. Like, she is TNA. And so, like, when I watched TNA, like, devotedly, it was that period of time where Tessa beat Brian Cage and had that massive feud with Sami Callihan to eventually win the men's TNA championship right before COVID. And then they kind of gone to shit. Like, I like Tessa Blanchard. I don't know if the headache that would ensue around the wrestling community commenting on all your social media posts about her, like, I don't know if that would be worth it. I think this would benefit both sides. Natalya is a veteran that can help the younger people. Nia Jax can be your, like, big, dominant, strong heel. And then Tessa would just tear up NXT. She would tear up the main roster. She has the look. I'm surprised she hasn't had an NXT run yet. It would work. I would say yes for both sides, but there'd be some hesitancy if I'm WWE. I'd have to kind of make sure the fan base wouldn't turn on me if I traded for it. And I would have to make sure that there wouldn't be any negative effects on locker room morale, because there have been reports that she's not the greatest person in the locker room. And so I'd have to make sure that everything would make sense from a culture perspective, from a back of the, behind the curtain perspective, as well as, a fan base perspective. Based solely off in-ring talent, this would be a steal for WWE. But there's that extra piece, which is why there would be the hesitancy. Next one. We got Charlotte Flair going to TNA in exchange for Masha Slamovic. I don't like this trade. On both sides. Like, obviously, TNA would be enthralled if Charlotte Flair showed up on TNA. But WWE gets nothing out of this. Like, Masha Slamovic is not a WWE-style performer. She is an indie girl through and through. She loves deathmatch wrestling, and it wouldn't fit the WWE style. It'd be like if Nick Gage signed with AEW. It wouldn't make sense, because Nick Gage couldn't do everything Nick Gage wanted to do. You know, even in AEW, he couldn't, like, try and murder people on a weekly basis. You know what I mean? Like he does on the indie scene. He couldn't take the pizza cutter and slice your face open a million times. You know, they tried that once on AEW and Turner told him to cut it out. I was live in the crowd that night. And so the styles would clash. Charlotte would do great in TNA, I think, but Masha just wouldn't fit in WWE. I don't think this trade would go through, and I don't like it, honestly, for either side, because Charlotte's too big for TNA. And the fact of she's already been, you know, one of the greatest WWE in terms of, like, championship value. Like, one, the value for this is off. Like, WWE is getting Masha for Charlotte. Like, that valuation is off. And so they don't get a whole lot out of it, and TNA gets too much out of it. She's too big for TNA.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
To where I don't know if they would be able to book her properly. And so I don't think this trade goes through. This is my trade that I mentioned, and I'll be upfront. I'll tell you why I think I like this trade for both sides. Because I think this one could go through. Like I said, Trick Williams is the future of pro wrestling, of WWE at this point. I don't know if Trick would ever leave WWE. If Trick Williams showed up in AEW, he'd be an instant success. He'd be Swerve Strickland 2.0. He just has everything that you need to be a pro wrestler. And then you allow him a little bit of creative freedom to do his own thing, and he would blossom like Swerve would. And so if you're looking at it from WWE's perspective, if WWE perceives like this is the top of the mountain for Trick Williams, right? Where he's at, if he's at the top of the mountain and there's no further that he can go up, you'd make this trade, you give AEW Trick, because AEW is going to try and reinvent Trick in a slightly different way. And you get Daniel Garcia, which I think has the potential to be a really good performer. He's just kind of stuck in a ruck. Like AEW is not 100% behind sending this guy to the moon and strapping the rocket on his back. Like he gets a mini push. And to be completely honest, his TNT championship run was one of the most forgettable title runs I've ever seen. Like, nothing major happened with him as TNT champion. And so I just feel like Daniel Garcia is kind of stuck in a rut in AEW. A change of scenery to WWE would do good for him. And then Trick Williams, like any company he's in, he's going to be really, really well set up. And so to me, I would love to see this trade go through. I love Daniel Garcia, and I think he can fit that NXT system and get a little bit of work behind it, and he can be a really good performer. And Trick Williams is just one of the best young talent in the game. And so let me get Trick in AEW. I like it. And then I think we got one more. Yep. Last trade I'm going to talk about real quick. And it'll be this. So WWE sends a haul of Piper Niven, Candice LeRae, Kairi Sane, Alba Fire, Nikki Cross, Julia, and Zelina Vega in exchange to AEW for Willow Nightingale, Thunder Rosa, and Mercedes Moné. And so I imagine this trade would not work for one reason. If trades were to be allowed in pro wrestling, Mercedes Moné would instantaneously have a no trade clause added into her contract. If tomorrow all the companies came together and said, we are going to allow in territory trading, Mercedes Moné would call her lawyer, would call Tony Khan instantly and say, I want a no trade clause added into my contract. Mercedes Moné wants to be able to determine her deal for everything she does. And I don't think she would allow this trade to go through. But secondly, WWE in this instance, the person that submitted this in the Discord obviously has the opinion that the mid card of WWE is overpopulated, because this would be one of those trades where it's like you take a bunch of your like B and C level talent, ship them off, and trying to get B plus A level talent to do better. It'd be like if you're a team like the Chicago White Sox, who have no absolute chance in hell to make the playoffs. And you're going to take a bunch of compensation in terms of contract and quantity of performers of baseball players in this instance. And in return, you're going to give one of your best players and some of your top prospects to a team that is contending for a championship. That would be the evaluation of this. It's like you're getting one or two guys in exchange for a bunch of like past their prime vets or coming into their prime prospects who may not be seen as top level prospects. I don't think AEW takes this trade. I think they value Willow Nightingale too high. I think they value Mercedes Moné too high. Plus, I think Mercedes Moné again would put in that no trade clause. But I do like kind of splitting this trade out. And I think Thunder Rosa is the best fit for WWE. I do think Thunder Rosa has a legit WWE look and would like to go to the WWE. And so I could see a trade built around Thunder Rosa for Candice LeRae and Alba Fire. I'm gonna call her Kaylee Ray because that's what she would go by in AEW. Or I could see Thunder Rosa for like Candice LeRae and Piper, or Thunder like a one for one Candice LeRae for Julia. Thunder Rosa for Julia trade. I could see that. I could see Candice LeRae come into AEW. I just don't see AEW again. You have to also look at it from a roster perspective. We're having trouble in AEW right now getting more than four women on the show. You know, and we're getting Tekla, we're getting Julia Hart, we're getting Sky Blue, Monet, Athena, and Toni Storm, and that's really about it. Like six or seven women. Statlander, Willow, even at this point, is getting less time than she should. And so there's an issue there of where you pull three women out and you put seven in, and we already have an issue with the roster getting time. You're just adding more people, not getting time to the roster. And so I think WWE would absolutely love this trade because they're winning this deal. And I think AEW would say no to this trade. But I do think AEW would be able to counter and say, like, we'll give you Thunder Rosa if you give us Julia and Candice LeRae and Alba Fire. I think that's a fair trade. Because Alba Fire, like, I mean, trade value wouldn't be high. Candice LeRae's trade value wouldn't be high, but they would be special in AEW. And then Julia would be the thing that would really, it would really be a one for one Thunder Rosa for Julia, but AEW would have to add a couple additional pieces to make it beneficial for themselves. And so that would be Kaylee Ray and Candice LeRae. I think that would work, but let me know what you guys think about these trades. If you want to, I think I'm going to do this occasionally, not every week, but occasionally be come into here and be like, maybe not trades every week, but like, if you were running a company, pick five people and then I'll have you, you know, I'll showcase that. And so again, I'm trying to get community involvement on the Saturday show. Let me know what you guys think about these trades in the comments. I'm going to end the show with one final thought. And that final thought is this. So last night I went to go see Fantastic Four and theaters. And it was a fantastic movie, pun intended. It was a fantastic movie. One of the better movies I've seen in a long time, but I was watching the movie and I can't help but think, like, there's a couple themes that I enjoyed. And I put that on social media. If you want to read like the themes that I thought, the musical score was fantastic, but there was one, like the entire start to beginning, as a wrestling fan, it made me think like Tony Khan, Hunter, Paul Levesque, any booker that needs to book a long-term feud should look at beginning, the end, the story of Fantastic Four as a way to book a mainstream long-term feud. So I'll go through the formula. So they introduce the movie, and I'll try to keep it as spoiler-free as possible. But for those that haven't seen the movie, there is a risk of me spoiling pieces of the plot. And so they start the movie out by introducing who your babyface characters are and why they're going to be important for the entire story, right? And so they present the fact that Susan Storm is pregnant, and they make you feel something for this character. They make you have to have an emotional connection with the eventual good guy, right? And so now they introduce the rest of the Fantastic Four characters, and that they, you know, they live together in this tower. And they're working on just their daily activities. And then they introduce the villain, which in this instance is the Silver Surfer and Galactica. And so they introduce this. Now the good guys go to interact for the first time with the heels, the bad guys, and there's no real action, right? Like, they may have a little kerfuffle, but there's no real intense action taking place at this point. You're just building the tension between the good and the bad. The good guys come back, and everyone's like, well, you defeated them, right? And they have to say no, which now makes the people who feel connected to the good guys in the movie start to question whether or not they have their best intention. And then they go out and say, well, why didn't you defeat him? What's going to happen? Well, he wanted this. He wanted our child, and we said no. So now you're setting up that the good guy is selfish, is thinking about their best interest, not the best interest of the entire civilization, which is this humanity position, right? Like, so many times in stories, you see the good guys, like, just kind of cower out of those situations, but now they're running towards being vilified as potential, like, bad guys, with the idea that, you know, as watching the movie, is they have the best intention in line, but they're now being perceived in the story as bad guys or potential bad guys, or not having the interest of the people they say they have the interest of. You eventually see them bring cooperation between these people, and now they make their intentions clear. We're going to beat these people, but we're going to do it in a way that I don't have to sacrifice what I think of, I deem very important, right? At the end of the story, you have the good guys fighting with the bad guy, and just when they think you've beaten the bad guy, he comes back with one more gasp of air, and then the partner of the bad guy turns face and helps you win, and it sent you for a loop. You're like, you didn't expect this to happen. And that's the final scene of the action, and then you close the story out. That is how it should work in wrestling. Introduce the good guys, introduce the bad guys, put a reason for them to have a conflict. Don't let them touch each other in a major way. Let them have just this little kerfuffle. Draw out for a period of time where the bad guy is seemingly about to overcome, have the good guy's intentions questioned, as if he really has the best intentions for everyone. And then close it off in a way to where the person you never thought would help the main character win comes in to help the main character win. You want to know what feud just had that formula? The Death Riders versus Hangman Page had that same exact formula. The Death Riders wreaked havoc. People, person after person, they have their best intentions. Their intentions were questioned. And then at the end of the day, Hangman ultimately thought he had Moxley beat, but he had one more gasp of air. His minions came out to help him. And just at the last minute, when you didn't think it was possible, Swerve Strickland helped Hangman win. And it was such a beautifully told story. And that should be the formula for booking feuds. You shouldn't have to introduce a bajillion characters. Like, you know what this feud didn't have? You know what Fantastic Four didn't have? And Fantastic Four didn't have the Avengers coming in out of nowhere to help them. they kept the characters within the grasp of the entire story, which is why my biggest problem with the Cody Rhodes story wasn't that Cody Rhodes won, wasn't the story that they told. It was that they had John Cena and Stone Cold and The Undertaker and all these people that had no prior connection to the story come out and help Cody win. It made no sense from a storyline perspective because there was no prior positioning for these people in the story, and they were going to have no further positioning in Cody in the future. You know, so that was my problem with the story and why I think I like the Death Rider story, because they kept the characters that came out with, they had a prior connection to the story. Danielson came out to help because Danielson was the one that Moxley beat the title, won for the title and choked out and ended his career. Darby came back because Darby was thrown off the stairs. Swerve came out to help Arrival. And so everything was long-term. It made sense and made you feel emotion. And that should be what it should be about. And Fantastic Four as a movie was fantastic from beginning to end and plot line. And that, and they follow that plot line that Fantastic Four followed. If you're booking a feud, that's the formula. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Have you seen the movie? I try not to spoil too much, but have you seen the movie? Let me know what you think of it. Let me know what you think of this show. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Give me a 5-star review. We'll see you next Tuesday. Cody will be back on the live stream. And we'll continue the show there. We're moving closer into SummerSlam. We're moving closer into Forbidden Door. And so the year turns in, and we're already almost 7 months through the year, which is wild. So we'll talk to you on the next one. It's Junkyard James. We'll see you next week.
Beyond the Junkyard.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.